Jesus, just before ascending into heaven, told the disciples to hang out in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit would come, filling them and enabling them, powering them to become witnesses for Him. They've been waiting for about 7 days now. And we talked about this section this morning, beginning at verse 1 of chapter 2 of the book of Acts, as we're going through the book of Acts together. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it was filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Father, as we continue a little farther in our discussion tonight, as we started this morning, I ask that your Holy Spirit would take control. That we would speak tonight your word, your oracles, Lord. And that we would all have ears to hear what the Spirit would say to the church. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning I mentioned there were some further issues I wanted to discuss with you before we continued on in verse 5, specifically about tongues. What is tongues? What's a definition? Allowing the Holy Spirit to speak through you to God in a language you don't understand and have not learned by normal means. It is a language that is addressed unto God. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2 says this, "For he that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God. For no man understands him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaks mysteries." It's a message you don't understand. Verse 14 of that same chapter. "For I pray in an unknown tongue, for if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful." It can be a known human language or the unknown language of angels. 1 Corinthians 13:1 says, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not love or charity, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal." So, let me just give you some basic stuff here, and then I'm going to get into some real, I think, particulars that we need to understand here and what that has to do with us as a church. What is the gift for? First of all, I think it's for prayer. If you're honest, and I will deal with this in detail in a few minutes, if you're honest, you're going to have to admit that there are times you just don't know how to pray. Perhaps there's a specific situation you should be praying for, but you just don't know what to pray for. You don't know how to direct your prayers. You don't know what to ask for. You don't know what to say. Perhaps you don't even know what's wrong, but you have this impression that you ought to be praying for a particular thing. Well, the Holy Spirit knows how to pray better than we do. Over in Romans chapter 8, verse 26, it says, "Likewise the Spirit also helps our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." Secondly, I think the gift is for praise. There are times when you are so overwhelmed with God's presence, and again, I'll get into more detail in a few moments, with God's presence that words just can't quite describe how much you appreciate him. And tongues may be an expression of worship as the Holy Spirit gives praise and honor to God through your mouth, bypassing the limits of our puny human minds. Paul calls it an excellent way to give thanks. over in 1 Corinthians 14:16 says, "Else when thou shalt bless with the Spirit, how shall he that occupies the room of the unlearned say amen at the giving of thanks, seeing he understands not what you say? For you verily give thanks well, but the other is not edified." I think another reason for tongues is personal edification. 1 Corinthians 14:4. "He that speaks an unknown tongue edifies himself, but he that prophesies edifies the church." Again, we'll deal with this. How is the person built up? They're able to pray and worship like they couldn't otherwise. They're letting the Spirit work directly through them, learning to trust in his work. And we'll deal with all of those points in just a few minutes. The question is in the church today, because I told you what we're talking about is very controversial. It can be very divisive, and it all depends on the background we've come from. It all depends about the experiences that we've had, what our perspective is. Everybody here tonight is listening through the filters of your lives and so forth. Are the gifts of the Holy Spirit, like tongues, present today? There are some folks who teach that some of the gifts are no longer for today, but were only for the times of the apostles. They teach that gifts like prophecy and tongues were only for the time when the church was being established. But once the church was established, there was no longer a need for these gifts. And the main text they use for that, let's deal with it before we go on, is 1 Corinthians chapter 13, beginning with verse 8. It says, "Love never fails, but where there be prophecies, they shall fail. Where there be tongues, they shall cease. Where there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away." And the reasoning goes something like this. Prophecy and tongues are considered the partial things. And when the perfect thing appears, these partial gifts ceased. This is absolutely correct. They will. But these people that will then take you to a verse to show you what the perfect thing is. And they will always take you to Psalm 19, where it says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the love is sure, making wise the simple." The reasoning then goes on like this. If God's word is the perfect thing, then once God's word was complete, when the writing of the New Testament, with the writing of the New Testament, there was no longer need for the revelation types of gifts, and hence they ceased. They will also make statements to the effect that there are no occurrences of these gifts after the times of the apostles. Well, how do we answer this? Number one, it's bad hermeneutics to say that Psalm 19:7 is referring to a completed New Testament. Why? Because David didn't say, "The law of the Lord will be perfect." He said, "But that it is perfect." When David wrote Psalm 19, the law of the Lord he had in mind was the law of Moses, having been written 1,000 years before the New Testament. If the law of Moses was perfect, and there was no longer a need for further revelation, then why was there a New Testament? More importantly, Psalm 19 is talking about how wonderful God's word is and how it fully affects our lives, not about whether or not we need more revelation. And the context of 1 Corinthians 13 tells us what the perfect is that will cause these gifts to cease. 1 Corinthians 13:11-12. "When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known." It's when we see him face to face that we will have perfect knowledge. Did you hear me? I see through a glass darkly now, but then face to face. And when I see him face to face, I will have perfect knowledge. When I see him face to face, either by death or by his second coming. When by the rapture, when we see Jesus, we won't need these revelatory gifts because we'll have perfect knowledge. It's also prophesied in the book of Joel that there will be revelatory gifts in the last days, Joel chapter 2, verse 28, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions. I'm still dreaming dreams, by the way. I just want to let you know, Chris, I'm not seeing any visions yet. Still the dream time, okay? I know the other Chuck is seeing a lot of visions, but it has nothing to do with me yet. There are all kinds of examples of the gifts being used after the times of the apostles if you choose to accept the evidence. From roughly AD 150 to about AD 250, there was a group known as the Montanists who practiced the gift of prophecy. Some felt they were heretical, but the famous church historian, and you will recognize his name, Tertullian, who's quoted quite often as a valid historian of the church, a church father, was one of their group. There's all kinds of modern day experiences. This is from Chuck Smith's book, Living Water, page 175. Listen to this story. Lynn Hinojosa is a lady in our church who, when she speaks in tongues, often speaks in French. Not just the common street French, but an aristocratic variety. And she's never studied the language. In the early years of Calvary Chapel, our family often attended a summer camp in Arizona. The kids all got to go to camp for free. I conducted the camp, and in this way, we got a week or two of vacation in the mountains. One year, as we prepared to leave for camp, Lynn laid hands on our daughter Jan and began to pray in French. Now, Jan's college major was French, and she understood everything the woman said. She was praying that God would use Jan's life as an inspiration to the young girls to whom she would be ministering, and offered a beautiful prayer of intercession for God's help and assistance. Jan said that as Lynn was praying, I was trembling all over because I realized this was a prayer of the Holy Spirit for me. What a thrill to realize that the Spirit was interceding for me. It was so glorious to know that this prayer was the Lord's desire for me. John Corson, in his application Bible of the New Testament, his commentary on the New Testament, tells this story. He says, I'll never forget a meeting I attended at Lake Arrowhead Hilton in California, where about 100 believers had gathered together for time of waiting upon the Lord. Since hotel rules dictated that the bar remain open whenever the conference room was in use, the bartender stood in the back of the room polishing his glasses while we studied, worshipped, and prayed. Toward the end of the meeting, a fellow stood up and gave a beautiful utterance in tongues. Because there was no interpretation, the brother overseeing the meeting wisely said, we thank the Lord for that utterance, but since there is not an interpretation flowing here tonight, that will be our only public utterance of tongues. When the meeting concluded, the bartender approached us and with tears running down his cheeks said, I must talk to that man who stood up and prayed. How does he know my language? I'm Iranian and he worshipped the true and living God in perfect Farsi. Needless to say, the bartender got saved that night. I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. I'm going to take a few minutes tonight. And since this is my last Sunday night, we're going to go for 2.5 hours. Yeah, you three'd still be sitting there, but your husband would leave, Maria. You would be happy, but Glenn wouldn't stay, man. Okay, nobody on this side thought that was a good idea. I'm bringing in pizza, man. Can I tell you? Can you imagine if you're visiting and see, they're leaving. You're visiting and the guy's up here saying, hey, I'm going to go 2.5 hours. I wonder if he really means that, Mabel. I don't know. George, what do you think? Yeah, probably so, but we'll see. 1 Corinthians 14. What I want to do is I kind of want to talk about some guidelines for the church. I want us to see what the Bible says about the gifts in the church, and specifically the gift of tongues and what it has to say. I want us to walk according to what the Word of God says and not just what churches do or what churches have experienced, you know, on their own or whatever, by just what's happened over the years. So I just kind of want to see what the Lord says. 1 Corinthians 14:1 says something about follow after love and desire spiritual gifts. Desire spiritual gifts. But rather that you may prophesy. We were told to covet earnestly the best gifts. We're in chapters 12 and 13. Now he's saying the same thing here. Desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. Then it goes on. For he that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God. For no man understands him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaks mysteries or divine secrets. So, an interesting verse here. If you are speaking in an unknown tongue, you are speaking to God. In other words, it is a gift whereby a man might be assisted in his worship of God or his communicating with God. For by communicating in tongues because you don't understand it, you are bypassing the narrow channel of your intellect. As I said earlier, have you ever come to a place where your feelings are greater than your capacity to express them? I often do, man. Especially when I'm in the realm of spiritual things. I'm in the realm of God's goodness and God's blessing or the greatness of God or the character of God. And as I'm studying at times to prepare for a time with you guys, or just studying for my own growth or edification, and I begin to ponder on God's greatness or God's goodness or the expanse of God, I begin to ponder on those things about His love, His power, His glory. When I begin to think of all that He has done for me, as nothing as I am, I suddenly come to the place where to express to God my thanksgiving and gratitude, my language is a barrier. I don't have the vocabulary sufficient to begin to thank Him and to praise Him when all of a sudden I find myself in these great depths of awareness of who God is and what He has done and what He is doing in my life. Anybody understand that? You just don't know what to say. See, my language doesn't really express what I feel. It's inadequate. Because I have to express it through language and my vocabulary or whatever, it's just restricted. And to bring it through the narrow channel of my intellect is sort of like a funnel. And it just sort of backs up because of the broad base of the Spirit now channeling through the narrow funnel, the intellect. And it's so cut down, it's so restricted. God has given to us a gift whereby we can bypass the narrow channel of the intellect and we can enter into a full worship of God. My spirit, now united with His Spirit and a full, unrestricted flow of my love, of my appreciation, of my expression to Him of His greatness and His glory as I praise and glorify the God that I worship, the God that I serve. It's rather nice to be able to bypass the narrow channel of the intellect in the worship. Savonarola said, when prayer reaches its ultimate, words are impossible. There aren't words available to express the things of the Spirit. That vocabulary has not been developed. And so the Lord helps me in my expression of these divine secrets. The worship and praise of my spirit unto Him through the gift of tongues. And it assists me in my worship and in my praise. Because we have just read, for if I speak in tongues, I am actually speaking to God, though I don't understand it. and the Spirit of God as he assists me in praising and worshiping the Father in glorifying Jesus Christ. And I love that. I love that. There are those times when I don't know how to worship. I don't know how to thank him for doing the incredible things in my life that he does. For allowing me to be here for the last 33 years and share with literally untold thousands of people over those years. To share the wonderful works of God. To be able to open up the Bible and to talk to folks like you and to other people and to share how wonderful God is. And all of a sudden there are times when I just begin to cough. No, there are times when I just get so overwhelmed. Was there an interpretation? No, I just get so overwhelmed with the things of God, man. That it's just absolutely incredible, and I don't know how to thank him. It just seems like thank you is so inadequate. Lord, you're really cool. I'm really stoked what you're doing in my life. It just doesn't seem adequate. And so God has given us this gift to be able to praise and worship and bypass my intellect. Another capacity is that of offering to God prayer according to his will. Romans chapter 8, the Spirit helps our infirmities, for we don't always know how to pray as we should. But the Spirit will make intercession through groanings which cannot be uttered. So the Holy Spirit is helping in our prayer life, either with groanings that can't be uttered or with words that can't be uttered, inspired by the Spirit, expressing prayer to God according to the will of God in a particular situation over which I am interceding. I love knowing that. There are times I'm praying and I begin to groan because I don't know how to intercede for somebody. Some of our dearest saints, is, you know, even right now, are going through tremendous pain and hurts and diseases, and you know, you pray and you pray and you intercede and you stand in the gap, and so you just begin to groan. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You just begin to groan and weep and before God, and you know, and all of a sudden you just begin to pray in the Spirit. And it's the Holy Spirit, again, bypassing my intellect and praying through me to the Father. I can just imagine what some of those things that are being said. Father, you know that thing that Chuck's been asking about that he really wants? He doesn't mean that. It's not a good thing. He shouldn't have that. And he begins to pray, praying in the Spirit, because the Spirit knows the mind of the Father. So when I begin to pray that way, I know that I'm praying in the will of God. There's no question about it. I'm praying in the will of God because it's God himself praying through me, the Holy Spirit praying through me to the Father. So the Holy Spirit helping in our prayer life, either with groanings and so forth, And so this is a gift whereby I am built up. I am benefited. I am blessed. But, according to the verses we just read, if I'm desiring gifts, it would be better that I desired the gift of prophecy than the gift of tongues. Desire spiritual gifts, we read it, but rather that you may prophesy, for the gift of tongues is only for my own personal benefit. As I express to God my worship and praise with the help of the Spirit. But he that prophesies, verse 3, speaks unto men for edification and exhortation and comfort. So the gift of prophecy has much broader benefits. The area of the New Testament prophet was not so much foretelling as it was forthtelling, speaking forth God's truth to the people. As we speak forth truth to the people, they are built up in their faith. They're built up in their relationship with Jesus Christ. They're built up in their fellowship with the Lord. As we speak forth God's truth right here, people are exhorted to walk with the Lord in their commitment to Jesus Christ, in their abandonment of the flesh to live and to walk after the Spirit. And they're exhorted to trust the Lord, to commit to the Lord, to believe in the Lord. They're comforted as we speak forth God's word, every one of us. As we speak forth God's word, not just foretelling, but forthtelling the word of God. And as we speak forth God's truth, people's walks are changed. Because people are comforted as we speak forth God's word, as they realize it is all in God's hands and God will take care of it and God is going to work. And as I just patiently wait, I shall see the work of God and glorify His, Him and praise His name, and I am comforted by the word of God. See, the gift of prophecy has a broad value as the church is benefited by this exercise. And again, normally in the New Testament, the gift of prophecy was the foretelling of the word of God. Benefited because the church is built up. It's exhorted, it's comforted, it's encouraged, which of course is exhortation. Verse 4 again, he that speaks in an unknown tongue is built up himself. That builds you up. It's a blessed experience. It's one that builds you. We need to be built up. We need to be edified. We need to be encouraged. And this is one way to do it. When I counsel anybody, and it's rare anymore because none of you guys will see me anymore, but I ask you a couple of things. You come in with depression, or you're down, or you're either not excited about Jesus anymore, or whatever, and I ask you a couple of questions right off the bat. Number one, are you reading the Word? And number two, are you praying in the Spirit? Because these verses say in 1 Corinthians 14, he that speaks an unknown tongue edifies himself, encourages himself. And if you're not doing that, that encouraging is not happening. But he that prophesies, verse 4 and 5, builds up the church. I would that you all spoke with tongues. I would that you all had this blessing in your own personal devotional life. He says, but I would rather that you had the gift of prophecy. For greater is he that prophesies than he that speaks with tongues, except he interpret that the church may receive the edifying or the building up. Here's where people often make a mistake. In that they believe that tongues with interpretation becomes equivalent to prophecy. Not so. It's a very common mistake in some churches believing that tongues with interpretation becomes equivalent to prophecy. Tongues, as far as I can understand from the Scriptures, are always, as Paul declared here in verse 2, addressed to God. Are you following? Stay with me. This is very important. Because I was raised in this background, and somebody would have a tongue and interpretation, and it was always be, you know, thus saith the Lord, you know, yada, 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 and so forth, okay? And it would be, you know, there's sin in the camp, or if you do this, or God is saying this, and thus saith the Lord, as a tongues and interpretation. Now, tongues, as far as I can understand from the Scriptures, are always addressed to God. You remember, as you go back to Acts chapter 2 that we're studying, that's where we're really supposed to be, these men had gathered together in Jerusalem because of the phenomena of these men and women who were speaking in these other languages they hadn't learned. We hear all of these people speaking in our own language. They marvel that they heard this as they were doing what? It's quoted in verse 11 of chapter 2. As they were glorifying and praising God, their tongues were addressed to God. They weren't addressed to the people. They weren't being preached to in tongues in their own language being preached to, but actually they heard them glorifying God, praising God. Paul the Apostle, in a few moments here in 1 Corinthians 14, is going to show us that we should not speak in tongues in a public assembly unless there's someone there who can interpret in order that the whole church might be edified. For if we speak in tongues without an interpretation, how is the person who is sitting over here in the seat of the unlearned going to say, yeah, oh yes, amen, at your giving of thanks, seeing he doesn't understand what you are saying? What is he saying amen to? Your giving of thanks. your addressing of your thanks to God. And then Paul went on to say, indeed you do praise God well, or it is a good way to praise God, but not without the interpretation, because the others are edified then. So in a tongue of interpretation, the people will be edified and encouraged if it's properly, if there's an interpreter there and it's properly interpreted. But tongues and interpretation are not equal to prophecy or the same thing as prophecy. For prophecy is when God speaks to the church to edify, to exhort, to comfort, where tongues is addressed to God always. Every time it's explained, tongues is addressed to God. So then if we're in a situation and we have somebody have the gift of tongues and there's an interpretation which is, you know, thus saith the Lord, what's the problem? I think the problem is simply the tongues were not interpreted. There was probably just the gift of prophecy being exercised. I'm not saying that what was said was wrong in any way. I'm just saying that it is not tongues and interpretation. It was tongues, somebody edifying themselves and praising God, and somebody else had a word of prophecy, but it was not really a word of interpretation if it was an exhortation to the church. Are you following me? Because tongues is always glorifying God. Every place it's described, every place it's defined in the Word, it's always in praising God. Verse 6, now, brethren, if I come unto you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you? Except I shall speak to you either by revelation or by knowledge or by prophesying or by doctrine. In other words, when I come to you tonight to speak to you, I come to you speaking by revelation, by the word of knowledge, by the gift of prophecy, and by doctrine. Okay? If I stood up here the whole evening speaking in an unknown tongue, it would be a wasted evening for you. But by speaking to you by revelation and prophecy and word of knowledge and doctrine, we're all blessed and benefited as we take the word of God and as we learn by it, as we grow by it in our relationship and as we walk with God. The speaking in tongues would only be meaningless sounds. And meaningless sounds, you don't know what to do with them. So Paul said, there are things that don't have life that give out sounds. Now, if I were to get off of this and go over there and play that piano for you tonight, how many of you want me to do that? Oh, you are really weird and dumb. You're not real sharp, some of you folks, man. Okay? If I were to walk over there and play that piano, it would be absolutely meaningless to you. It would just be a whole bunch of meaningless sounds. Because I don't know one key from another. I don't know one note from another. I would just go over. You want to hear it now? Do you want to hear it? I would just go over there and it would just be, you know, it would be not good. But if a gifted, accomplished pianist played, it could absolutely bless you. You could sit there and go, whoa, this is so pretty. That is so wonderful. Whoa, listen to that tune. Listen, it's great. And he goes on to say there are also things like pipes, like harps that give out sounds, but unless a person is really skilled, you know, if you just get a guitar and just hit the strings and let your fingers go wherever, and I've heard guitar players like that, you don't hear any melody. You don't hear anything. It's just a jangle of noise. I've picked up guitars and sat down when nobody's around, you know, put my fingers on the fret. I have no idea where they are. And I've started strumming on the other side, and it's meaningless. It's just a bunch of noise. Tongues can also be just a bunch of noise unless there is an interpretation of them. How do you know what song a person is playing if he's just making the noise on the instrument? You don't know what's being played. Or if the trumpet just gives an uncertain sound, who's going to prepare himself for battle? Tongues can be meaningless. You don't know how to respond to it. You don't know how to react. So likewise, unless you utter by your tongue words that are easy to be understood, How are people going to know what you say? So just to get up and speak in tongues to people is worthless. It doesn't prepare them for anything. They don't know how to respond to it unless you speak in words they can understand, bringing in the simple truths. Otherwise, it's just like speaking in the air. I've been in situations where everybody just gathers around. Everybody is, you know, praying in tongues together. Well, that's just a bunch of noise. And it goes on in this section. It talks about if an unbeliever walks in and hears all you guys doing that, they're going to think you're nuts. They're going to walk out and go, whoa, what was that all about, man? Going to a foreign country, sometimes a very interesting experience. Because you may do something dumb that's dumb in their culture. I've traveled to other places and I've been in Russia and Germany, different places, and the culture is not the same. And you can find yourself doing something really stupid. It happened to me in a totally different culture in New York City. It's a different culture. I was downtown Manhattan. And I went into a little delicatessen and I ordered a cup of coffee and the guy, you know, just poured some cream in it. And I said, I want it black. And he started yelling at me. Just started screaming at me, man. I didn't know what he was talking about. He was screaming at me in Italian or something. I didn't know what he was saying. I didn't understand anything he was saying, and as I looked at his face, I was glad I couldn't understand what he was saying. Because I knew if I understood what he was saying, I would respond to what he was saying. And he had a big old thing in his hand, man. Big old meat cleaver or something there. So I didn't want to respond, but he was very angry. And all I wanted was a black cup of coffee. But they didn't. I guess I had to tell him ahead of time or something, because he'd already poured the cream in there. See, if I don't know the meaning of the voice, I'm like a foreigner to the one who is speaking. Even so you, for as much as you are zealous, verses 11 and 13, of spiritual gifts, seek for those gifts that you might excel in those gifts that will edify the whole church. Therefore, let him that speaks in a known tongue pray that he may interpret. Have the gift of interpretation so that should he exercise the gift of tongues in the church, it would be also able to edify the whole church by bringing the interpretation. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prays, my understanding is unfruitful. Verse 14, understand what I'm saying. Verse 15, what is it then? If I will pray with the spirit, I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the spirit, I will sing with the understanding also. Paul is declaring here that there are times in my devotions that I will pray in tongues. There are times in my devotions that I will pray in English, the language I know. There are times when I will sing in tongues. There are times when I will sing in the language that I know. For you indeed are giving thanks well, but the rest of them are not edified. And now Paul inserts this, lest you get the wrong impression of what he's trying to say. I thank my God, verse 18, I speak with tongues more than all of you. Now Paul has told us already, he doesn't do this in church. He would rather in church speak five words in a known tongue than 10,000 in an unknown tongue. Therefore, if he speaks in tongues more than all of them, what in the world is he saying? It is obvious that he does so in his own personal private devotions in his closet. I do believe, this is what I believe, this is what we walk in this church. I do believe that if a person has the gift of tongues, that the proper place to exercise that gift is in their own personal private devotions. As by the Spirit they worship God with the assistance of the Spirit, declaring to God their love, His glory, His goodness, His power, His greatness. Now, why do you say that? I don't have time to do all the verses on this and all the references, but when there are unbelievers present, we need to be very careful what we do. Now, if we would have some believers' meetings, some afterglows we do sometimes, and little home meetings are all believers, hey, learn to function in the gifts in those arenas. That's okay. But I believe the gifts of the Spirit are given for the street. They're given for life, not just for us to have little parlor games of, you know, you prophesy to me, I'll prophesy to you, and we can have a good time in this. But I believe it's for the edification. Are you following me? So here, we believe in the gift of tongues. We believe it's valid today. But we exercise that in our own private devotions. If there are unbelievers present, we don't do that. And we always have unbelievers present here. God, you know, there's unbelievers here tonight, I'm sure. And you know, this is a touchy subject I'm talking about. You're just sitting there going, I have no idea what this guy's talking about. Well, it's okay. Most of the people that go here all the time don't have any idea what I'm talking about most of the time. That's why they fired me from Sunday nights. But this gift is to be used in your own private devotion times. Do I speak in tongues? Yes. Will you ever hear me? Probably not. Because it's not something that I think is for public display. I've heard it said, you know, in circles of my background and so forth, that I just can't help myself. The Spirit just comes in and takes over and I can't. Well, it also says in Corinthians that the Spirit of the prophet is are subject to the prophet, okay? That we do have control. God's a gentleman. He doesn't take over and then just all of a sudden begins to speak through you. He doesn't do that. I believe every gift of the Spirit is valid today. But it's valid in its proper place and in its proper order. Are you with me? Now, I believe the gift of prophecy has happened tonight as we've shared the word. I believe that we have foretold the word of God. And the Spirit is working in our lives to make that word real to us. I believe that. And I've explained earlier when I praise God and I sing with the understanding, I sing with the Spirit. I do that. I do those things. But I edify myself when I do that. I don't offend anybody. Something between me and God. Is it a great gift? Absolutely. It's a great gift to edify, to encourage. It's a great gift. Is it the sign of being filled with the Holy Spirit? Well, here's where I differ from my Pentecostal friends. I don't believe that's the evidence of being filled with the Holy Spirit. I believe the love of Jesus in our lives is the evidence of being filled with the Holy Spirit. Do all speak in tongues? Paul said no. Is it available to all? Sure. Do all? No. Do I have to be filled with the Spirit of God? Absolutely not. Is it the evidence of being baptized in the Holy Spirit? No. But if you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, you have that availability, and I'm telling you, as a time of worship and praise and of self-edification, it's wonderful, and you ought to do it. What do? You just simply say, Jesus, baptize me in your Holy Spirit, would you please? And you know what? He will. All you have to do is ask. That's all. Well, I know my past said those gifts are, they're evil. You know, you could get into some major trouble when you pray a prayer like that. You open up yourself to some really strange things. Oh, come on, guys. Why'd you even bring that up? If you being earthly fathers and your children ask for a loaf of bread, what are you going to give them? Going to give them a scorpion or a snake and do something like that? How about the Heavenly Father? When I ask Jesus to do something in my life, I can trust what he's going to do. When I ask him to fill me with the Spirit, I can trust that he's filled me with the Spirit of God. I'm not going to get a counterfeit. I'm not going to get something that isn't of God. Because who am I praying to? And the enemy hates that so bad that, you know, you go home and you go in your little prayer closet or you get in your bed, or I had a guy that crawled under his bed one night, man. You say, Jesus, fill me with your Spirit, and, you know, if you want to give me that gift, I want to be able to praise you and to pray when I can't think in my own mind, God, and I want to edify myself and let you pray through. I want just, you know, oh God, you can trust him to do that. And words will begin to form in your mind, and you can just begin to pray. In a language, it may be a known language, it may be an unknown language, it may be a language of the angels. All of those things are the possibility. But he will do that. And then the enemy will begin to play with you. There's going to be a little voice in your ear that says, you're making it up, you're making it up. Anybody know what I'm talking about? That's gibberish. That's child talk. That's baby talk. That isn't true. Oh, boy, did you get, all this stuff. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Man, you go through all of that. And how can it be if I've asked God to fill me with his Holy Spirit and give me that gift? How can it be a counterfeit? How can it be something that I'm making up? Now here's the bottom line. Here's the key. I didn't say all that to say, okay, now line up. Okay. Get the elders up here, baby. We're going to knock some of you down. I'd like to knock some of you down, but that's a whole other story, okay? We're going to lay hands on you, and we're going to get you filled with the Spirit tonight. We're going to get you the gift. Now repeat after me. Say Habakkuk as fast as you can, as many times as you can, and pretty soon when you get tongue-tied, it's, you've got it! I've been in those kinds of services. Nobody else knows what I'm talking about, do you? You know? How about if we let Jesus be Jesus? And he said he would baptize us with the Holy Spirit and with fire. So we didn't say what we said tonight to try to get anybody programmed or try to get you filled with the Holy Spirit. That's between you and Jesus. That's between you and God. All you need to do is ask, fill me with your Spirit, Jesus. Holy Spirit, come into my life. And once you pray and ask that, has he done it? Absolutely. Remember when you got saved? For some of you, there was some kind of, crisis experience when you got saved. There was a feeling, there was a rush, there was a flow, it was tears shed and things happened and there was fireworks up in the sky and you're grabbing everybody. I got saved, you jerk. You ought to get saved too, man. There was just something, there was this experience that you had, man. It was incredible. I mean, there was just, skyrockets went off. I mean, it was great. Others of you, Jesus come into my life, and he did. And it was no experience at all. He just did it. And I prayed to receive Jesus. What happened? I received Jesus. My life has changed, and now I'm going to be a believer and walk with God, and I'm having a wonderful time. Thank you very much. It was just a very, remember? Salvation's been different but it was by faith. It was by faith you got saved. It wasn't because, any great thing. It was by faith. You didn't understand it. When you would pray to receive Jesus, did you understand it all? Jesus, I don't understand, but I'm lost. And I want to know my way home. There's an emptiness inside of me, man, and I'm hurting. And I've heard about you, and I've read about you, and people have talked about you, and I'm just a stinking mess, man. My mind is going 10,000 miles an hour, and I don't know what's happening, and I have pain inside of me, and I don't want this pain anymore. Jesus, help me. Did I just describe your salvation experience? And Jesus Christ came into your life. You didn't understand it, but by faith you believed it. And now today, whether it's been 5 days, 5 weeks, 5 years, or like me, 100 years, man, it's whatever it's been, you know more today about salvation than you did when you invited Jesus into your life. You've been reading, you've been studying, you understand what Jesus, you don't understand why, you still will never understand why, but you understand what he did and how he did it for you and the purpose of doing that, and now you understand it, but you didn't understand. It's the same as true with being filled with the Holy Spirit. I don't understand this. I don't like it when Chuck talks about this kind of stuff. I like it when he when he comes to these parts of the word, I don't know why I show up. I don't like this stuff. I don't understand it. I didn't know he believed in all this stuff. I thought he was sane. You don't understand. I'm telling you, by the same faith that you received Jesus into your life, by the same faith, just go to him and say, I don't understand this. But your word says it, so Jesus, fill me with your Spirit. Thank you very much. I want to be baptized in your Holy Spirit. Thank you very much. We told you this morning, these people in the room on the day of Pentecost, they weren't doing nothing. They were just there. They had no great program. They didn't have, somebody, they didn't call TBN and say, would you come over and teach us how to do this? They didn't do that. They were just sitting there, and the Holy Spirit came and did his thing. Just come to Jesus and say, I surrender. You baptize me. Don't ask somebody to do it. Don't have somebody program you. Don't strive. Don't worry about it. Just, Jesus, I ask you to fill me. Thank you for filling me. And then all of a sudden, as you're worshiping or praising or in intercession for something, and you begin to pray and you don't understand what you're saying, just say, thank you, Holy Spirit, for speaking through me. And this is just between you and me, Jesus. Well, you know what? Those were the things I wanted to say this morning I didn't have time to do. We're supposed to be teaching verses 5 through 13 tonight, so that was just the introduction, so we're going to do our 2.5 hours. I like somebody over here, man. That's pretty cool. We got one over here, had two over here earlier. We're up to 3. Do I hear 4? Anybody want to go? Let's stand, shall we? I'm done.